National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History 2. My name is Marvin Herzog. My respondent's name is Albert Henry Brunwasser. Today is Saturday, February the 18th, 1995. Al, I would like to continue with the remarks that you made a few moments ago with reference to the parts that people like Dave Lawrence and General Mellon played in the economic welfare of the city and county. Would you mind reiterating just a little bit?
Well, I think that in both these two men, they were committed to the rebirth of the city of Pittsburgh. And when we say, when I use the term city of Pittsburgh, it's the region. Pittsburgh was the financial center, the business center, so it's the region. These men, at least in my observation and my relationship, minimal as it were, directly with them, I observed that these were decision makers. They were leaders. They could make a tough decision. They were fearless. Once they gathered their information and they made a decision, they didn't vacillate. They had a plan and they moved forward with it. And the criticism that you can read in the media and on the TV and the radio about Lawrence and Mellon didn't divert them, didn't cause them to back off. They moved ahead. They were committed leaders. Today, in my experience, and I have had an opportunity to observe, to be part of the whole array, from John Cain all the way up to the present group of commissioners, Forrester, Flaherty, and Dunn, Stacy and that crew, Jim Flaherty, Pierce, Walker, Hunt. They couldn't compare to Lawrence and Mellon. No way. Yes, circumstances changed, but leadership qualities, determination, and a commitment to move forward is what Mellon and Lawrence represented. Today, everybody's trying to negotiate and not cause any discomfort with anybody raises a question. And herein lies the real issue that this region faces. There isn't any leadership. There isn't any determination.
There was a there was a second renaissance in this region, in this city, headed up, we think, by Dick Caligiuri. What was your opinion about his administration and his efforts?
I think I knew Dick Caligiuri when he was with the city of Pittsburgh. He worked for the city of Pittsburgh in the parks. I think one real pluses about Richard Caligiuri was he recognized that there were others that had the resources and commitment, and he was able to call upon the private sector to work with them to bring about this what you term the second renaissance. But it was, Marv, it was a spillover what was laid down by Mellon and Lawrence. You gotta understand that the private sector, when you have a leader of the quality and commitment of Mellon, that can carry on for years. And Caligiuri is I commend him for being able to understand that there was this private sector and their resources and weld them together with government and the people. He did a good job there. But as far as leadership is concerned, as far as taking the heat, as far as reaching out and bringing about change and bringing about new initiatives, you know what R.K. Mellon and Lawrence, I have to tell you this, they convened the first international conference on rapid transportation in international, in the world, right here in Pittsburgh. And they had a second international conference. The reason that Pittsburgh was left out of it, because there were a number of elected officials that couldn't take care of handling business of that guy. It was too big for them. They didn't have the determination, they didn't have the skill, they didn't have the know-how. And what did this region end up with? Losing it to the high-speed rapid transit of this world now is over in France.
Was that on occasion of the Westinghouse installation that they made out at South Park? As an example of what could be done and what could be done.
Yes, that was. There are those who thought, well, maybe by putting it out, you know, it's easy to put it out in that park, but where it should have been installed was in downtown Pittsburgh, out to Oakland. And there was definitely plans and thought to do that, but they backed off. They backed off.
They did install it in San Francisco, and I understand that it does very well out there.
Oh, absolutely. Bart.
No,
that's the kind of leadership that's missing today. Sad. Let me just wrap it up. You've read about what Cleveland's doing. Cleveland was in bad economic straits. And here is Cleveland now being looked upon by the people, the media and people of Pittsburgh as they really turned it around. Well, what caused them to turn around? Leadership, commitment, determination, not playing games, trying to satisfy everybody. You cannot in this system satisfy every person that's going to object. I can tell you right now, one other vignette. Dave Lawrence was also involved with state and national politics. We had a problem with a man who was in the Democratic Party statewide. He was from Blair County, Altoona, and he was having problems with the City of Pittsburgh Health Department at the time that I was involved. And he asked for a meeting with Lawrence to see if this problem couldn't be resolved. And I can tell you right now, the meeting was held, I was in attendance and invited to the meeting, and Lawrence come in. And he said to this party that asked for the meeting, he said, "You see, this is Mr. Broncos. He's here because we expect to have the best public health program in these United States. And we're not going to accept anything less. Now, we know you have problems." He said, "But look, my friend," and he always had a ring on his little finger. When he hit that ring on that finger, the meeting was over, okay? He said, "Now, you're going to have to, not belligerent, very skilled, very diplomatically, you're going to have to find some way to bring your plant into compliance."
Well,
others would say, "Oh, wait, we give another 5 years."
Well, we can see the results of their planning and their dedication and their leadership now, because we live in a beautiful, it would seem, pollution-free city.
It is.
And I think it's held out as an example all over the world of what can be done environmental-wise with the kind of commitment that these people have. I'm interested in something else. During this period, there's been a kind of a migration of the Jews in this city from one area to another. I'm interested in knowing what your overview was of the movement of the Jewish population, for example, from the Hill to Squirrel Hill, and now presently to Mount Lebanon, and finally, it would seem, out to Fox Chapel. Was it the absorption of the Jew into the general population? Was it because the Jew became more affluent and therefore could afford fancier neighborhoods? What is your feeling about the that type of development?
I think that inherent, at least in my assessment of our religion, is that you have to study, you have to learn. It's not enough to work with your hands and your back. You have to exercise that mind. You have to learn. You have to study. You have to study and you have to learn. And that gets translated into not just the reading of our Torah and reading of our books, our religion, but it gets translated into a way of life, in my judgment. And that way of life carried over with it, you got to go, you got to study, you got to learn, you got to use your mind. You must use your mind. The opportunity presented itself after the first wave, the second wave, and the third wave of Jews coming into this country. They carried that same condition. And when the opportunity presented itself, I think clearly the Jews really took advantage of the opportunity, opening the door to getting an education, opening the door, the way for professional education. And that leads to a better way of life. And why live in a coal patch if you can live in a better environment? And it's a simple, and for me, it's simple as all that. The only thing that bothers me, I'll say this. When I lived in a hill, it was a different relationship with people, Jews, my fellow Jews. I don't find that today. When I lived on Caldwell Street, on Dinwiddie Street, there were Jews that lived there, and there was a tie. The tie was there 24 hours a day, you know, if you were moving around. The tie now is you either go 10 services at a synagogue, not frequently, right? Maybe, I mean, I try to get at least, I try to attend the synagogue on the Shabbos, and sometimes I make it on Sunday morning. But that tie is no longer there. And as the Jew left the hill to Squirrel Hill, the East Liberty, and so on, that's what I see as a loss. That is something that is lost, and there are those who are trying to do something about it. But I lived as a Jew 24 hours a day. I'm living here. I don't even know who this neighbor is.
But you live as a Jew in a part of the Jewish community.
Yes, but not with the same kind of warmth, not with the same kind of commonality. There's not that common denominator.
Don't you think
me
that the camaraderie that you experienced in the early years was because the Jew lived in a very close-knit geographical area in the city? They were all economically about equal. There's been some separation, hasn't there been, during these ensuing years? Professionally, economically. And isn't that part of the reason that they migrated away from each other?
No, I'm sure. I would agree. I'm only projecting and trying to look at the future, and I see that evolution, as I term it, in my judgment, will probably contribute to more of the Jew becoming less of a Jew and more indoctrinated into some general lifestyle.
That, I think you'd agree, would be unfortunate.
Yes.
Your four daughters live elsewhere in other cities, leaving your wife with an empty nest, so to speak. Pittsburgh is a good city, unquestionably, but it isn't New York, and it isn't San Francisco, and it isn't Palm Springs. Having to do it all over again, would you, and knowing what you know now, would you select Pittsburgh as a great place to have gone through life as you have? Once again, would you do it all over again?
I would, I would do every bit of it over again. I haven't any regrets. None whatsoever. And I wouldn't, you know, to look back and say, what if? That's not my style. I don't have any regrets whatsoever.
The Jewish community thinks very highly of you, Al Brunwasser. And so do I, incidentally, as a...
Thank you.
As a contributor to this effort. We're very proud of you. And it's Jewish people like you who make our lives as Jews worthwhile in Pittsburgh. Is there anything else that you would like to contribute to this?
No, I think to it's this, not to the content, except to say I think it's tremendously valuable, and you're to be commended, along with the organization. I wrote it down, I hope, somewhere, to take on the National Council of Jewish Women, to take this effort on. I mean, it is absolutely tremendous. It's outstanding. The only thing that I feel, perhaps, there was an individual that attempted to gather some history of Jews in Pittsburgh, and he wrote a series of articles in the Chronicle. He lived in a hill. I'm not good on names. I can't even remember my own name. But my dad, my father was an individual that really loved history. And he had an opportunity to, he knew this man from the hill, and he had an opportunity to meet and talk to him, because my dad, and in particular, he was very well-versed in the Jews of this community.
Well, we find you to be the same. That was very interesting, Al. Now, let us discuss your duties and responsibilities in the health department. What was your job title?
I was the director of the Allegheny County Health Department.
Exactly what were your duties in the health department, Al?
My principal duties entailed the management of a staff of 750 employees and a budget of somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 million a year. The specific duties entailed the area of environmental and health, air pollution control, and medical services. The other major responsibility was relating to the needs of the 1,250,000 people that make up Allegheny County.
Were you given assignments, or did you more or less create your own programs?
Well, we had traditional programs which were mandated by federal and state law. At the same time that we were implementing those public health programs, we had a unit that was involved with what I term strategic or advanced planning. This unit was attempting to measure the health needs of this community on a longer range basis, so that the staff and the resources could be readjusted to meet the changing public health needs of the people of Allegheny County.
Yeah. Now, presently, you're doing consulting.
Yes.
What type of consulting are you doing, and with who are you working with?
I'm a member of a consulting group known as Resource Development and Management Incorporated. In my capacity, I'm the Vice President of Operations. My principal duties involve relating to matters of the environment and government activities. There are a number of private companies that are pursuing the development of land and or manufacturing activities, all of which requires complying with the federal, state, and local environmental permits, and attempt to do that in a cost-effective manner. In addition, there are public bodies such as local municipalities and authorities, public authorities, that also face the need to maintain or develop permits in compliance with these same federal, state, and local laws as it relates to the environment, which includes air pollution, water pollution, solid waste disposal, safe drinking water, air toxics, and a whole array of other programs.
How in the world can we ever do without a man of your knowledge, expertise, and experience? That's just wonderful. Let's go back just a little bit now. Did I understand you to say that you went to University of Michigan or to Michigan State? I'm not sure.
I'm a graduate of Michigan State University, and I'm also, I have undergraduate work at Michigan State University. I've completed graduate work in public health at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and I've completed graduate work at the University of Pittsburgh and the School of Business Administration.
Well, you were well grounded, certainly, for the job you were doing. Tell me, during your Navy time, whereabouts were you stationed?
I was in the Naval Aviation Program and spent a period of time in the pre-flight program, and that was about 18 months. And then for a period of 6 to 9 months, I was in the flight program. I had successfully completed the requirements of the pre-flight program, which took me through a number of air stations and training centers. And I was in my final phase of my air training when we were most fortunate, where saw the end of World War II, both in Europe as well as Japan. And I remained in this service for another period of maybe 6 to 9 months until I was then discharged. I had enlisted in the Navy for a period of 4 years. I completed something in the neighborhood of 3 years of service, and because of the end of the war, the president and the Congress saw the need to reduce the military staff, and I then was given some kind of a special, not alone, everyone that was involved had the option of continue on to complete their tour of duty or to be released. I then elected to be released and went into my educational program.
Right. Aside from Mr. Lawrence and Mr. Mellon, did you have any other friends in the school or college who influenced your career?
Well, there was a one gentleman who influenced my career, perhaps, and that was a coach that I played under, when I was in the Navy, and his name was Paul Bear Bryant, who was the naval training coach when I was at pre-flight at Chapel Hill. And he was a very dynamic person, and there wasn't any question that he was a leader. He left the Navy, was discharged from the Navy, and went into coaching at a variety of schools, ended up as one of the outstanding coaches in the United States in collegiate ranks in Alabama. But there was an interesting thing. When I was discharged, he had gone to Maryland and recruited with him a large number of these individuals who played for him in the Navy. And he was successful from then on.
I see. Well, Al, let me ask you just a couple of technical points that we might have missed during our taping. A few names. What was the first name of your mother?
My mother's first name was Minnie.
Minnie.
Minerva.
And Minerva.
Minerva was her given name.
I see. But she was known as Minnie.
Yes.
And of your father?
His name was Sidney.
Sidney, all right. And the last one, your youngest daughter?
The youngest daughter's name is Allison.
Allison, okay. Well, I think that about completes our interview and our inquiry. And so on behalf of the National Council of Jewish Women, and of course of your interviewers, we feel as though we've become your friends. We certainly thank you.